Welcome back to God's Pathway to Life for You. I'm your host, Dave. Today we're going to be talking about John chapter 3. Hey, thanks for returning to the podcast today. We're going to be talking about John chapter 3, but before I get started, I'd like to say my little prayer. Lord, Father in heaven, please hear my prayer. Please help us to truly understand your word, to let your word live in our hearts every day, to guide us, to comfort us, to redirect us, and to conform us into your son's image. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last time we got together, we were talking about John chapter 2. Today we're talking about John chapter 3. Now let's get right into John chapter 3 because there's a lot to cover. There was a man from Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." And then it has a Bible reference to 1 Kings 17:24. And if you flip over there to 17:24, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth.'" Okay, so what they're talking about in that context, if you would go back and read chapter 17 and read the full chapter, and that verse is at the end of that chapter, you would find out that Elijah, he was actually on the run or on the way, trying to get away from Ahab. And the Lord told him to go to this brook, and by the river Kadrith, beyond Jordan, and you can drink of the brook, and the birds would feed you. And eventually, the rain wouldn't come no more, because Elijah said that one of the prophecies that got him in this bind was that he told Ahab that the rain wouldn't come anymore. And so when he was hiding over in that brook, the water dried up eventually because there was no more rain. And so he goes to another place called Zarephath, which is beyond Zidon. And he dwelt there, and behold, he said, "I commanded a woman to sustain you." And so he goes to Zarephath, and he finds a widow woman, and she's out there gathering sticks. And he calls to her and says, "Bring me a little water." And she brought him some water, and they start talking. And he asked her for some food, and she said, "Well, I really don't have any food. I'm out here gathering some sticks so I can put a little bit of a meal on it, you know, like what you would put on, I guess, a breaded fish or something, and dress this couple of sticks so that me and my sons can eat these sticks, and then we can die." Then Elijah, he says, you know, "Fear not, and go ahead and make me a little cake first, and then make you some for you and your son." And he said that the Lord will bless the barrel of meal. It shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, which means that the meal never ran out and the cruse of oil never ran out, and all the days that the Lord held back the rain. So Elijah was in there with this woman, and him and her and her son were surviving this drought, and the little bit of food that they had was continuously replenished by the Lord. And anyways, you go on into the store, and you find out that her son becomes sick, and he eventually dies. And then she goes to Elijah and says, you know, "Why did you do this to me? I thought you was a man of God, and you call my sins to remembrance to slay my son." So she's like, you know, "Are you here because of my sin, and my sin slay my son?" And he's like, "No, no, no." And this is one of the things I tell you about. God is not the God of death. God is not the God of death. God is the God of life. And so when Elijah finds out the son got sick and died, you know, that's when he takes the boy and he goes up to the room that he was renting from the woman where he was staying. And he lays the boy upon his bed. And then he prays to God and cries out to the Lord. And then he lays on top of the boy three times. He stretches himself upon the boy three times. And he calls out to the Lord. And he said, let the soul of this child come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah And the soul of the child came into him again, and he was revived. And then Elijah took the child and brought him down into the chamber of the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah sees, and she sees her son is alive. And the woman then says to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that every word of your mouth is of truth." Now see, that makes a lot of sense than just reading that 24. The woman said to Elijah, "I know by this that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." See, you know, just so when you read, when you see one of those Bible references, read the whole chapter. And not just that little snippet, because when you read the whole chapter, you get the context that you see about Elijah running from Ahab because he told Ahab that it wasn't going to rain no more because Ahab sinned against God. Then God tells Elijah to run to this brook to hide out. So he's hiding out, and he said the birds will feed you. So he's drinking the brook for water. The birds are feeding on flesh in the morning and at night. And then eventually the brook dries up, and then the Lord tells Elijah, "Well, go to Zarephath, there will be a woman there. When you go to her house, I will replenish the barrel of meal and the oil that you guys are cooking and eating from." And then when the son got sick and died, Elijah cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and put the soul of this child back in, and the mother knew that this man was a man of God. So the child getting sick and dying was to show the glory of God. That's another aspect in this story. So it's kind of interesting what you learn when you see those little number things off to the side. It's good to go check it out and see what they're actually talking about, but remember to read the whole chapter. Okay, so now we get into verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except that a man be born again, that he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And so remember, he's talking to Nicodemus, this Jewish ruler, and he's asking him, you know, "Wow, you do these miracles, you got to be a man of God." And then Jesus said to him, you know, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus says to him, "Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? How can he enter second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again by water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which was born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again." He's saying, don't be hung up on the part that I'm saying, be born again. "The wind blows where it lists, where it wills. And you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes from and to where it goes. So even one that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, "Are you a master of Israel?" It means a teacher. "Are you a teacher of Israel and know not these things?" So Jesus basically laid down scripture to him, you know, truth. And this guy is supposed to be a teacher of scripture, but he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And that's why Jesus called him on it. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that we do not know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. I said to you that we speak that we do know. So he's telling them what he knows, the scripture, and revealed, and you received not our witness. So you didn't understand what we were trying to get across. It. We're speaking scripture to you, but you're not understanding what we're saying. If I had told you earthly things and you believed not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So he's telling them earthly things, you know, common knowledge things that every Bible reader of the time should understand and realize, but they're still not comprehending it. So if they can't comprehend what every Bible reader should know, then how are they going to interpret heavenly spiritual things? Because, like I said, we don't have any reference or point of reference for spiritual, supernatural stuff, because we don't see it. We've never seen it. We've never seen the pillar of fire. We've never seen the Red Sea get split. We've never seen supernatural stuff. I mean, we're on the other side of the cross. We have to believe everything by faith. We believe by no sight, but no sight. We just by faith. So it's, you know, we're different than the other Christians. We have to believe with no sight, no supernatural thing happening in our lives to show that God there, you know, he's totally invisible to us. So our faith is something that he's emplaced in us. So if you have faith and you're listening to the podcast, that means God has a relationship with you. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he said, no man ascends up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. See, only Christ came down from heaven. So the Son of Man, which is in heaven, so Christ is in heaven. He's the one that has the ability to go up and down in the world. And Moses is lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So if you were to flip over to Numbers 21, I think it's 21:9, I think. Let me look again. Yeah, it's 21:9. And Moses made a brass serpent and put it upon a pole, and it came to a place, and that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of the brass, he lived. Like I said, you got to read the whole chapter, not just that one thing. In chapter 21, it says, when the king of Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tales that Israel came by way of spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them as prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow to the Lord, saying, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hands, then I will utterly destroy their city. And the Lord hearkened to their voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them in their cities. And he called the name of that place Horam. And the journey from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people which much discouraged because of the way. So there was it was a difficult way to go. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. And see, this is what happens. If you speak against God and God's people that he puts in your life, bad things will happen. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this light bread, the manna that God was giving them. They were complaining about the food, the water, the conditions. I mean, God saved these people from bondage after 400 years of being oppressed. I mean, they were under the lash, so they come out here to the wilderness, and now they're complaining because they're tired of eating God's bread. They're tired of the no water. Their souls loathe the bread that God gives them. And so what God does is he gives them what they want. I mean, this is a different time. This is not the age of grace. God deals with these people harshly. And God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. It's amazing to see that these people are ignorant. I mean, God was in a pillar of fire. He went before them every day and provided and everything, but they complained. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents. Now, what is a fiery serpent? It's a supernatural supernatural animal that God created to punish these people. And so they were getting killed and bit and stung by these fiery serpents. So it must have had a burning type of burn, you know, like when you got bit by the thing. Maybe it was a burning sensation when they bit you. And many people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, that it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. That's kind of the symbolism of Christ, because Christ, if you believe in Christ, then you can live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I mean, there's more in this chapter, but like I said, because of time, we can't really go into it. But see, you really need to read the whole thing and not just that little snippet, because you get it opens a broader picture for you. Okay, so where was he? So when Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. Verse 15. That whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then here comes the famous verse that everybody should have in their war closet, their armory, their weapon of God, because the weapon of God is your war armory, your weapons. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, you can only be saved through Christ. You can't be saved through Buddha. You can't be saved to the Catholic Church. You can't be saved through any other avenue. Only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And he died for the world, but the world through Christ might be saved. Didn't say just America. No, it means Russia, Afghanistan, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, Canada, France, Paris. All of us are a part of this. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. See, that's what I'm saying. If you're a Christian, then you're he that believes in him is not condemned, because you believe in Christ and you restrain your life and you use the Bible as a guide in your life to restrain you, to hold you back, and to share the love of God. Now, he that believeth not is already condemned, because they already live a lost person's life. They don't care about you or anybody else. They only care about themselves. So they're living their best life now. They're already condemned. You're not making your choice to go to heaven when you get up there. You're making your choice to go to heaven now. Every day that you wake up and every choice that you make throughout your day, you're making a choice which side you're going to. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You make that decision today, right now. A few minutes ago, and those choices that you made. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. See, we like to do bad things more than we like to do spiritual things. We're, especially in the Laodicean church area. We are Christians that like to feel our fleshly desires before we feed our spiritual desires. We're more heavily into fleshly desires than spiritual desires. And that's the way it is. That's why you're lukewarm. Because if you were not in that condition, you would be on fire for God. You'd be out there sharing the word. You'd be telling everybody about it. You'd be passing out gospel tracts. You'd be getting on the internet. You'd be getting on Facebook. You'd be 24/7 pushing the word of God out there. But you don't. Because you're already complacent with your life the way it is. You don't need to share the word of God with anybody, because it's unimportant. Well, if you're not sharing the word of God with anybody, then, you're already a lover of the darkness. I talk on this podcast and I tell you about my past that, I got into the sex, drugs, the rock and roll, and the alcohol. And I made every worldly choice out there and got into it. Yeah, I tell you about that, and I really don't have no shame to tell you about my sins, because our sins, if you don't take them out, if you don't take these sins out of your life, when you die and the people of your life, I won't be there because I'm not in your life, but the people of your life, your everyday life, when they die, they're all going to be standing there. And when you go before the judgment of Christ or the judgment of God, wherever you're going to go, there's going to be a jumbo screen up there. And whatever thing that you did is going to be displayed on that screen for everybody to see. This is no joke. Whatever sin that you committed that you thought was in private is going to be displayed for everybody in your life one day at the end of your life at judgment. Same thing for the lost, same thing for the Christian. There's no difference. The only difference is a Christian's sins are covered. You know, their sins are going to be forgiven, but the lost man, their sins are going to be on them. So if you don't want your family, your friends to see your little dark secret sin that you keep private to yourself, stop doing it now. Repent from that sin and give it to the Lord, or else it's going to be on the jumbo screen for everybody to see. So I have no problem with telling you about my sins in public, because the Bible says bring your sins to the light and expose them and destroy them. Because if you keep that sinful nature and keep that sin hidden, it's going to be exposed one day before God, one day before Jesus. So yeah, I'm not a perfect person. I sin, I get angry, I stole, I lied, I cheated, I broke every Ten Commandment on there. You know, I cussed my parents. You know, I've lived a sinful life. I did everything I could probably imagine. You know, so I have no problem with admitting my sins, because if I don't bring my sins to the light now and tell you about my sins now, they're going to be on the big jumbo screen for everybody to see. So, hey, I might as well get it over with now, because I don't want to be standing there and lose any type of salvational gift that or crown that I might earn or inherit because of my walk. So remember that your sins one day will be exposed to the light. So you can either take your sins now in your life and expose them to the light and get them out of your life, or you can wait, hang on to them, and then when you die, your friends, your family, and everybody, and Jesus, and everybody's going to see your sin right there in front of you. So be prepared for that. But be warned, I have told you that your sin is going to be there. So when the light came into the world didn't, you know, the men loved their darkness rather than the light. You know, men like their evil deeds. They like to do evil more than they give up the light, or more than the light, because you have to give up all your evil things that you like to do. And it says, for everyone that does evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. That's what I was telling you. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, revealed, that they were wrought in God. Now, wrought means to be made. It's like an operation. It's like a process of turning something into something else. Wrought means being turned into something else. God has turned you into God. God is Christ. That's that Christ likeness. That's that transformation into Christ likeness that, you know, the Bible speaks about. There it is right there in red and white, because it's red because God spoke it. So after these things, Jesus came and his disciples into the land of Judea, and he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing. Now this is another, it's breaking off into another story. But he was baptized near Aon, near to Siloam, because there was a lot of water there, and they came and were baptized there. For John was not yet cast into prison, and then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John, and they said to him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond Jordan, they're talking about Jesus, to whom you bore witness, saw the dove of the Holy Spirit descending on him. Behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. He's saying Jesus is over there baptizing other people. And John said to him, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. And that's truth. Only knowledge that we have in the love, compassion, and understanding all comes from God. And you yourselves bear witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. The bride is the church. He that has the church is Jesus Christ. But the friends of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He said, I get to see Jesus. I got to see him. I got to baptize him. I get to see him start his ministry. Man, I'm glad to be alive. This is the greatest thing since sliced cheese. And he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase. His ministry must go on now forward. Now I start to take the low road. I go down now. My importance now diminishes because he's now to take the role and go forth. That's what he's saying. He that comes from above, Jesus, is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. He's speaking of himself. And speaks of the earth, because that's all John knows. John knows earthly things. He that comes from heaven is above all. And Christ knows all, is all, and is everything. And with what he has seen and heard, that he testifies of, no man receive his testimony. See, Jesus came and told us everything that we needed to know, but the Jews did not believe. The people that he was trying to convince about who he was, they believed him not. And they didn't receive his testimony. They didn't receive his witness. He that has received his testimony, he has set a seal that God is his truth. So that's what I'm saying. When you're a Christian, it's a he that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. So you're sealed in that. For he whom God has sent spake the word of God. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. He doesn't give Jesus a part of the Spirit. No. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And see, that's what I'm saying. When you make that statement of faith and you give your life over to Christ, and it's a true thing, and it's truly, you love Christ, and you truly are a broken person, and you truly come to Christ, and you truly accept salvation, and everything is legit to go, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your body, then what happens is the Holy Spirit comes into your body. He separates your soul from your flesh. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your body, he circumcises your soul from your flesh. So there's a circumcision there. And in between your flesh and your soul is now the Holy Spirit. He protects your soul, and your sins no longer get put onto your soul account. Your sins now go to the account of Jesus. Your sins now apply to his account. And the lost, since they don't have a statement of faith, since they don't have the Holy Spirit, their soul and their flesh are combined as one. And so when they sin, their sin is put to their account. To their account. And there's no advocate for the lost. There's nobody who's going to step into place. And they can't live a perfect life like Jesus can. So they instantly go to hell. And their soul, their flesh, their body will all be cast into the lake of fire. So yes, you lost person, you will die. God will raise you up. He will put you back into your body. He'll take you, your body, your soul, and throw you into the lake of fire. You will be consumed by fire. God will regenerate your body so it can be consumed again by the fire, and that will be your state for eternity. That's it. However manner of death that happened to you, if you died with the shark bite, you're going to walk around with the shark bite. It's never going to repair itself. If you broke your neck, you're going to be walking around with a floppy head. If you died in a car wreck and you're all burned up, you're going to be walking around all burned up. So if lost person, whatever condition you die in, that is going to be your state of death for eternity. Remember that, lost person. Scary. Ooh. Okay, so that brings us to the call to action. Sign up for the prayer list today, and if you'd like a sticker, leave me email with your mailing address. I'll send you a sticker out. Okay, I'd also like you to start your own prayer list and write names of people you love and care about and write down the God answered prayers in their life. Okay, I'd also like to do the prayer of salvation. Now, this prayer of salvation, it's a starting point between you and Jesus Christ personally reconnecting. But this is not the beginning and the end and all. No, this is not a one-fix wonder. You make your statement of faith. You turn your life over to Christ. You seek out a church, hopefully, that teaches from a King James Bible. You seek out a church. Get accepted to be on the church. I mean, join the church. Be a member of the church. And then read your Bible, get an understanding that, you know, who you're, what your spiritual condition is, you're truly lost, that you made your statement of faith, and then when the church has an invitation time, that's when you get up there and you go up front and you make a public statement of your faith before the church, the pastor, and everybody, the congregation and everybody. And then at that time, they'll take you by the hand, they'll walk you over there, they'll tell you all about Christ and everything that he's done for you. And then you'll make your statement of faith, and then the pastor will set the day, and then you'll come back and you'll get baptized. But see, that's not your salvation. No, that's just your love, showing outwardly your love for Christ, that you're publicly making this statement of faith, and you're publicly demonstrating your faith by going through the baptism. And you get baptized, you get submerged, you get dunked in the water, don't get sprinkled, but get dunked in water. And then when you come out of the water, and you're a Christian, you know, you made your life, you made that first step of admitting that you're a sinner, that you need to turn your life over to Christ, that you sought out a church, that you went down the front at the invitation time, you made a public statement of faith before everybody in the world, and then they dunk you in the water, baptized, and then you're baptized, and then they plop you in the seat, and now that's your time to start doing the work, because you have to read your Bible, you have to go to church, you have to be the one that takes notes at church, you have to be the one that interacts with your church, your fellow church people, and learn to grow and love your church family. Because those are the people that are going to help you through your difficult times when you have difficult times in life. Because those are the people you can lean upon. So this little statement of faith that we say now, this is just step one. You realize that you're a sinner, that you need to turn your life over to Christ. But see, this is kind of like a little coverage until you get to church and say you start getting on the roll or join a church, you start reading your Bible, you start interacting with your church people, you know, and then you get dunked and all that. Because if something happens to you, if you die between now and that point, you're still covered by this little statement of faith. But you got to turn your life over, repent from your old ways, and seek out a new life with Christ as your Lord and Savior in every aspect of your life. You know, your love life, your financial life, your private life, your personal life, your job life. Christ has to be in charge of all that. And so, you know, I'm scared. You know, I'm starting to worry that you guys are just making a statement of faith and thinking that you're solid and you're good to go. But no, this is just one step, you know, to make your personal choice between you and the Lord. But you have to make a public statement of faith. When a church holds an invitation, that's your opportunity to jump up, run down there, make your public statement of faith, get baptized, join the church, start reading your Bible. So this is just step one. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that my sins separate from me from you. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I choose today by faith to invite you into my heart, to take control of my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I willingly choose to turn from sin and turn to you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and give me a home in heaven with you when I die. Change me and make me a new person. Help me now to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remember, repent. Turn away from your old life. Seek out a church. Start going to church. A church is how you get understanding. If you got a good pastor, I hope. Okay, I invite you to church, Facebook Live, Sunday morning, 11 Central Standard Time, and again, 6:30 Sunday night, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And if you do come, would you put in the comment section at your fun podcast? Okay, I'm asking if God placed it on your heart to donate to the church. There's a donate link on the website, godspathwaytolife.faith. There's a clickable link in the detailed description box for this podcast. Check out the detailed description box for all links and email information. Okay, I think that's all I have for today. Remember to say something nice to somebody you don't know, because God said we're all strangers too, and He loved us so. Your friend in Christ, Dave. Bye.